Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, sir. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
It's good having you. I'm going to send you a synopsis of what an alarm is so that you are up and ready at the time of call. But that's okay because I know you've been working very hard. For those who don't know, Jessica Rivera, he's been a staple on the show. Navy corpsman back in the day, living in Mexico, Puerto Vallarta, and the great work he does with our veterans abroad. And it's about benefits. And nobody works harder or has been working harder than Jesse in working with our congressmen, trying to get legislation, trying to make it so and make it easy for our veterans, not only in this country, but around the world, who need help, who need benefits. I mean, my goodness. And the obstacles that have been in the way. Jesse, take it away. We got about 11 minutes. So I'm going to give you the floor, and then you'll call back tomorrow. We'll slot a time. You'll call back tomorrow and finish it up. But give us a sense of what you've been working on. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. So to backtrack for your listeners who are just hearing about this for the first time, there's a little bit of a situation going on for veterans that live abroad full-time. We got hundreds of thousands of them that live abroad, of which about a little over 70,000 are registered what's called the VA Foreign Medical Program. Now, the VA Foreign Medical Program is the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs health insurance program for veterans that live and travel outside the United States. It's been around for quite a while now, but many veterans have found over the years that their coverage, once they cross the U.S. border, significantly changes, Jay, and not in a good way, as we've spoken out before. So due to the language of Section 1724 of Title 38 USC, disabled veterans living and traveling abroad, even if they're rated 100% permanent total, as we've discussed before, are not covered for non-service-connected conditions once they cross the United States border, right? So, excuse me. So that was a big, big problem, Jay. As you know, we've spoken during the pandemic several times. You had me on your show. And, you know, I brought up with you that basically we had veterans that were not able to get things like COVID-19 testing and treatment down here due to the language of 1724 Title 38 USC. Now, the catch is, and why we've decided to fight this so hard legislatively recently, is because the spouses, the children, elderly parents, and caregivers of those veterans, when the veteran is rated 100% PNT, they are eligible for CHAMP VA. And as you know, Jay, under the CHAMP VA program, there's no distinction about whether or not something is service connected or not, right? So during the pandemic, the dependent spouses, children, elderly parents, and caregivers of veterans that were 100% service-connected and rated PNT, they were able to get COVID-19 testing and treatment, as we've spoken about before, but the disabled veterans that qualified them were not, right? So, as we mentioned before, this is a big problem. There's basically this huge gap. And it doesn't just have to do with COVID-19. I think that was just really what shed the big light on this problem. If a veteran that's 100% PNT and they're abroad, they break their leg, they get bit by a snake, they have a heart attack, they get cancer, whatever it is, whatever types of problems would normally affect the vet abroad, right, that they would encounter in their daily life, they cannot get those things covered, once they cross the U.S. border. And so, as you know, Jay, I've probably been on your radio show about 12 times now, and I've been in the news quite a lot, and I did a lot of research. I've probably filed about 3 to 4 dozen FOILs with the VBA, VHA, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, kind of look into this issue and really dig down deep and try to understand it and then try to figure out a way to address it. And what I came up with is we should definitely try to find a way to, of course, cover those veterans that are 100% TNT to bring their level of coverage up to that of their dependent spouses, children, elderly parents, and caregivers, at the very least, because, you know, that's an issue of equal treatment under the law, and our vets deserve no less, right? So what I discovered during my FOILS check is out of that 71,000 that are currently registered, it's a little more than that, but about 17,000 are rated 100% permanent in total. So that's about 25% of that larger total. That's a very significant portion. So you got basically 17,000 disabled veterans who are getting worse care and coverage than their spouses, children, elderly parents, and caregivers that get CHAMP VA as a result of the marriage to the veteran for the spouse, right? So that's what we're trying to change here, Jen. And so we're looking to put a bill forward to basically address that issue legislatively. Now, during my research, I discovered there were a number of other problems going on with the VA Farm Medical Program that if we address those, would give the federal government, particularly the FMP program, a significant amount of cost savings. And what I discovered is that cost savings would actually pay for most of this bill. So right now, I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I know we're pressed on time, but yeah. You know, the VA does not do direct deposit for reimbursement of claims for foreign medical care. It only does paper checks because right. The system that they use is not compatible. I've been told by the VA it's not compatible with the federal treasury system. In fact, the S&P program is one of the few programs and agencies left within the VA, but also within the entire federal government that does not do direct deposit. They are losing, you know, millions of dollars a year in waste, fraud, and abuse because they are not, you know, they haven't converted to doing direct deposit. That's one. Number two, early on in the pandemic, the VA released around that time the VA mobile app on iOS and Android. In the past, you know, to be frank, it wasn't very good. It didn't have a lot of capabilities. But yeah. There were those of us who were like, okay, we wait a few more years and this thing will get better, right? And I'm pleased to say to the Department of Veterans Affairs' credit that over the last few years, the app has become very, very useful. You can look at your decision letters, download your summary benefits letter. You can schedule an appointment with a primary care provider. You can send a message to all of your providers. You can reorder your prescription. You can look at payments for your GI bill. You can look at payments for your compensation. Most of this you could not do just maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago or so on the mobile app. But they have worked very, very hard. And again, to the VA's credit, I think they've done a great job on this, on modernizing how veterans, you know, look at, digest, and get access to their benefits. They've done a great job at that mobile app.
No question. Chris, let me ask you a question. I figure sure. We're going to be cut short here because of the clock, but I want to have you on tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and you can finish up kind of part one, part two here. You know, let me just say this, folks. Jesse should run for Congress, because he has been fighting for every veteran out there to get what they deserve. And I got to tell you, you and I have known each other now a couple of years. Nobody working harder than you. You're in Mexico now. You've been fighting. You've done a great job, by the way, by Nick LaLota. Nick, one of the hardest working guys on Capitol Hill, I'm telling you, hands down. And to get these things through, as you both have done, is amazing. So, with that being said, let's do a kind of a part two to be continued on the morning show tomorrow. 8 o'clock, good for you? We'll put you in the schedule.
And it's a little early for us down here, Jay. We're 2 hours behind you.
But that's okay. So you know what? You go to bed maybe 30 minutes sooner. You set the phone alarm, and you're up and running, talking to a zillion people.
Yes, sir, we'll do.
Does that suffice?
That suffices, sir. I think I could swing it with a little coffee and maybe three alarms.
And if you have a little trouble, I'll get in touch with the lovely Lily yesterday, your better half, and she'll give you an elbow saying, you know what, you better get up.
Yes, sir.